Warning, the following content may contain elements that are not suitable for some audiences. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, kiddies. This is y'all's ghoulie, John Kassir, the voice of the Crypt Keeper. And you're listening to Slasher Radio.
Welcome to Slasher Radio. It's your boy Bones, joined always by Kat. Rob, what's happening?
Hey there.
Okay, turn off the intro music and horror court. Rob Humphrey.
What the hell? Right into horror court?
Immediately.
And right at me.
Dead in your face, sir.
All right, what's up now?
I listened to This Horror Life this week.
What's wrong with This Horror Life?
Nothing. Great show.
It's a good show.
Great show. If you're listening to Slash Radio right now, you can find This Horror Life. Go download it, listen to it. It's great.
Yep.
I have taken issue with many things on your show.
All right. I'm replaying this latest episode of This Horror Life in my head. I can picture, I'm not sure. I could see you going one of like three or four different ways here. So we'll see which one it is.
I could too. This is the one I picked. I could too. So there was a quote from one of the hosts of This Horror Life, one Rob Humphrey, that said, 2 hours seems like an awful long time. In discussion to a film.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you... Okay. You too, Kat. Damn it. Why do you guys feel the need to try and kill me inside?
I was going to stick up for you on this horror court. What are you doing?
I know. I'm sorry, but he tries to torture me with long movies and you with your sharks. God damn it.
You're taking that out of context.
Okay.
All right. I said 2 hours seems like a long time in regards to Terrifier 2. 2 hours is a long time for a slasher movie. It doesn't need to be 2 hours.
You listened to a five-hour podcast today.
5 hours and 41 minutes.
It's a 6-hour podcast today.
Yeah, but, you know, it wasn't a slasher movie. If you said to me, let's watch this 5-hour and 41-minute slasher movie, I'd say no.
You...
Actually, I'd probably say yes, because that's...
Yes, you're lying some minutes. Yes, you are. Yes, you would.
You could do a lot of slashing in 5.5 hours.
All right. Imagine Victor Crowley for 5.5 hours.
So that was my point. Like, it seems like a long time for a slasher movie. 2 hours. You know, 90 minutes is a solid runtime for a slasher movie.
I will say, I am curious, just because, hear me out, Mikey, Art is very efficient. Like, I'm not sure he needs the full 2 hours. I'm going to watch it enthusiastically, but I am kind of curious as to why it has that long of a runtime.
I'm worried as well, because that would mean that, I would assume that would mean less art, more characters we aren't watching this movie for, you know? But that's besides the point. This is besides the point. It's the nerve.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't Rob try to find the longest horror movie of all time once and make us do it 1 week?
Yeah.
That was...
Right up until we learned it had subtitles.
Yeah, I was like, even I don't want to watch that. It was like 4 hours or something. I was like, no, I don't want to watch a 4-hour foreign
film. I think it's a Japanese horror anthology.
Yeah.
But see, you were willing to do it until the subtitles, though.
Mm-hmm. If it was a slasher movie, I would have been like, no, I don't want to watch that.
But my question to you, Rob, ultimately, and the reason for this hardcore, why do you bring that bullshit over here? Is the simplest way I could put it.
What?
I mean, like, it's just everything. You get bleeped, you can bring long movies over here, God forbid they're on This Horror Life.
We did the Suspiria sequel on This Horror Life.
You did.
You want to do that on this one?
You can go to This Horror Life on iTunes and listen to it for yourself.
That's a 2.5-hour movie.
See,
there's
no
long movies there. It's a good movie, too.
Kat, do you understand my point, at least with just the nerve?
Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating.
Yeah.
You guys are taking it all out of context. This is... No. I plead not guilty to any of these charges, and I object.
You, sir, are going to jail. Is where you're going. You are guilty as charged.
I think I already did this week.
Oh, come on. Yeah. Anyway, I feel better now. I'm sorry. That was, when did I send that message? I sent this message at 9:23 in the morning. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. This is festered all day.
I was wondering because there were a number of things I thought might upset you about this whore life. I was hoping you just wouldn't listen.
And then, there were several things. Yes, I called them all. Can we do a show on the Lord Humphrey whatever thing reviewing this? Oh, dude, we should do that.
The Lord Humphrey Audio Entertainment Network. I don't know why that's so hard.
Yes, yeah. And we'll tell you a little bit about our Patreon in a minute. But dude, that'd be funny. Can we do that?
Doing what?
A review for This Horror Life on your podcast network.
You'd have to talk to Ghost. I'd have to get her permission to do that. You know, because it's part her show, so.
That's fine. And we will get the paperwork to her desk as soon as possible.
Yeah, she would have to sign off on that.
Okay, but I would feel better personally getting stuff off my chest. I live tweet your shit sometimes. Like, it bothers me.
But I know, I see it.
I know. So if I could just go off about it, I don't even need anyone there with me.
All right. I don't know what your problem is with my show, but.
I love your show.
Yeah.
But you, there's certain things you say.
I don't know what I do. Like, you take stuff out of context and you twist it and turn it to fit your own weird narrative. You got it out for me.
You sound like Chris.
Oh, Chris, yeah. Attacking me on Twitter, apparently.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, that felt real good getting that out. Anyway, guys, we have a voicemail this week.
Oh, that's exciting.
Right? Oh. Right, we got a voicemail this week. We haven't had this segment for a little while. So if you want to call the show, you have a voicemail read on the show.
You trace the call. It's coming from inside the house.
The number is 917-397-KILL. That's 917-397-5455. And this message.
Hey guys, it's Jinx from Twitter and the Discord server. And after much pacing back and forth throughout my house, I finally brought the courage up to ask a simple question. I wish I could ask so, so many more, but I'll just keep it short real quick. What is one scene from something that wasn't horror that scared the daylights out of you, something that stuck with you, maybe like a kid's show when you were little, like maybe, I don't know, something stupid like Courage the Cowardly Dog. It wasn't really the horror focus, but it was something that just stuck with you forever, just stayed with you even up until today. For me, it was this war movie called Come and See. I know Mikey doesn't like subtitle movies, if I'm remembering correctly, but I highly, highly recommend you guys check that out sometime. It's not a horror movie, but it's got so many terrifying and horrifying elements that have just stuck with me for years since I saw it. I love the show. I love listening to you guys every week. And one more thing, Mikey, you gotta lay off Rob, man.
What? That's my boy.
He's right sometimes, all right? And he's wrong others, but give him.
I'm never wrong, Jinx. Never. Right?
He's not that bad.
It's never happened.
I love you guys. I love the show. Can't wait to hear my voicemail on the show. I'm super excited. Love you guys. Have fun with the rest of your cast.
Jinx!
Look at that. Look at that. I love you, Jinxie. You're the man, but I'm never wrong. Never. But you're half right.
First of all, if you have more questions, like, absolutely leave us more voicemails.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it's an excellent question. Ignore Rob.
What?
What?
Why you got to throw that in there?
You're wrong sometimes.
No, I'm not. This
he
is
was
a mess.
Sticking up for you and you're attacking
this
him.
This whole show has become now you two ganging up on me for some reason, and I don't like it.
Oh, you guys got balls.
I don't like it.
Did he really? I'm about to start another hardcore right now. I've suffered.
You can't do two horrorcores back to back.
I might, damn it. I've suffered lately, guys. All right? I've suffered.
Yeah, well, wait till it's my turn to pick a movie.
Yeah.
I'm bringing you both down.
Jinx!
That's what this show has become.
It's a torture show. It really is.
To get revenge on the other two hosts when it's your turn to pick a movie.
Kat got her audible saw. She got a saw audio going. We just torture each other pinwheel style.
Oh, we can't do that. I like a lot of French movies, guys. You can't. You don't want to play war games with me.
I am upset that it has gotten out and has become public information, apparently, that I can't fucking read, too, by the way. Like, what? We were talking about it earlier, too, and sometimes it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know.
But Jinx, that was also voicemail, man.
Yeah, and it's a good question, Jinx. And the only thing that I can think of that jumps to mind right away for me is the large Marge scene in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. That frightened me as a child. Doesn't
I thought
scare me
about
now.
That too.
Yeah. Like that's the one that immediately jumped out at me as something that's not horror that scared me when I was a child.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else right off the top of my head. I mean, there's stuff that I saw when I was a kid that was horror that scared me that doesn't now. Like Creepshow scared the hell out of me when I was a kid. Now it's not scary at all. But yeah, that's the one thing. Large Marge from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, I would go with.
Yeah, I think the horror moments stand out more. Yeah, that's a hard question.
I actually have a couple. The one thing, and I was watching horror movies at that age, and they didn't get to me very much, with a few exceptions. But the what really freaked me out as a kid was the Morlocks from Time Machine. Scared the crap out of me as a kid, and I don't know why, because it was just like a low budget sci-fi movie, and that was like scarier than any creature feature to me as a kid.
That's interesting. I haven't seen Time Machine, so I don't know about those, but
I don't know why. I don't know what it was about them. They just scared me. And then I saw the remake too. I didn't realize it was the same movie, and the remake was terrible for a whole bunch of other reasons. But the new Morlocks also scared me. They were very different, and I can't explain what it was, but there was a gut reaction where I didn't like them.
That's fair.
And courage is an interesting thing that was brought up in the voicemail, because there were a couple things as courage that actually scared me more as an adult, I think, than scared me as Freaky Fred had some very creepy vibes as an adult, where it's like as a kid it's like, oh yay, a Freaky Fred episode, and as an adult it's like, who let me watch this as a child? Like, what? The show was not okay.
Yeah, Courage is a good one. I'm really having horror things stick out to me more so than anything. Like, I have a similar to Rob. When I was younger, Tales from the Crypt scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
The Crypt Keeper? My mother used to just be able to say, that was a legit threat. I'll get the Crypt Keeper on. I was like, oh, shit. Right to my room, whatever it is I had to do, got done. So that scared the shit out of me. Man, I don't know. Like, Pennywise was big as a fear thing. He freaked me the hell out. I really can't think of anything.
Yeah, it's a tough question off the top of your head.
Courage is closest, I would think, because I remember sitting there as a kid, and it gave you that uneasy feeling at times. Kat, because I know you watched it.
I don't know what it is.
So. I know you don't.
The Slab, the episode with the Slab, the Return of the Slab, King Ramses, that episode, like, when I was a kid, that was the scariest thing I could imagine. And again, I was watching horror movies at that age.
Right.
But Courage every now and then would strike a note that was troubling.
Yeah, imagine that on the middle of the day for kids, like on a Cartoon Network.
Oh, God. And the Gerbil episode.
There's so many. Yeah, Courage is a good
show.
One. Yeah. I would say Are You Afraid of the Dark, too? But I think that was more towards horror, kind of.
Yeah, that's sort of a horror thing, like a kid's horror.
Right, like a Goosebumps kind of, like it counts, you know?
Yeah.
There was also, as like a Harry Potter nerd, I also have to bring up Aragog was the most terrifying thing to me as a kid.
Oh, no doubt.
I had enough problems with like regular size spiders, and the idea that there was a fantasy sized giant spider just really upset me.
Yeah, you know all about Aragog, right, Mikey?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, terrified me.
Yeah.
Awesome voicemail though, Jinx. That is a really good question. Yeah. But the Rob thing, bro.
That's perfect. That really sealed the deal, Jinx. I think that was the one. I got to be honest with you. Voicemail of the year.
Better than fucking shit.
Roger.
Yeah, Roger.
Roger. Yeah. You know what? It's close. I wonder what happened to Roger. We haven't heard from him.
Who cares?
In a while. Well, that's not nice. You're always saying I'm mean to the listeners. Concerned about that, man.
You're lucky we can't get the Oompa Loompas to do shit. You're very lucky, all right? We were this close to cracking that case, and we lost all the Oompa Loompas. Last day we're tracked was by Bobby's house, and we haven't seen anything of him since, so we don't know what happened. Damn, Roger. Kat, before we go forward, did you hear from Dan the Ball Man yet?
Oh, yeah. How is Dan the Ball Man?
So I think I might have gotten away with it. my hope, because it slid. He's fallen behind on the podcast.
Dan.
All right. First of all, what the fuck, Dan?
It happened around the bracket time. I think he got tired of listening to me talk about the bracket. Was probably what happened. I had a lot of rants that I would go on during the week in between recording those episodes. So he's behind. My hope is that eventually we just he doesn't know that he's Dan the Ball Man, and we make the reference one day and he's just like not listened to the episodes in between and I don't get in trouble.
How did you not tell him he's been getting called Dan the Ball Man though? Like, and not only that, how did he okay his name to be used and not at all curious why?
And he didn't listen.
Right. I'd be like, what the hell are they doing?
All right. Well, whatever, Dan.
He hasn't mentioned it.
I don't care for this Dan character now. If he's not keeping up with the show, what the hell?
Yeah, Dan, come on. Give you a cool nickname like the Ball Man. Yeah. I mean,
you need to be more like Jinx, Dan.
Yeah. Well, half of them. Half of Jinx. I don't know. All right, well, Dan, I hope you listen to this, and you're not mad about being a ball man. Anyway.
I mean, it's kind of an honor to be the ball man.
How could you be mad? Yeah.
That's what I would think. Yeah. Anyway, we have a really cool movie. I finally got to pick the movie, guys. I can't wait.
Yeah, really cool.
This is what you did with it.
Yep.
I'm very... All right. No judgment.
I'm proud of it.
Could have been cool and pick like Slacks or something.
Oh.
Kept our tradition of awesome.
What a power move.
Right.
To use your own choice to be like, guess what I'm not going to like? Slacks.
I'm honestly so tired of bitching. And I know I'm going to argue with the two of you in a little bit. And it really drives me up a wall. I was talking to a friend of mine. We're doing Halloween H2O, ladies and gentlemen. I was talking to a friend of mine today, and I'm like, yeah, I got to record tonight. I got to do this. I'm like, and I know I'm going to have to, like, I'm going to go ham for this movie, and I'm going to receive resistance in the form of a Humphrey.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. I mean, if this is the hill you want to die on, that's all right with me, but seems weird.
Bought my sleeping bag. All right. Guys, you want to get into the news?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
It's time to hump.
He's not a genius.
We have a lot of shit to talk about.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yep. We're humping the news, Rob.
All right.
Get your humping pants on. Humping the news.
Humping good.
Funko has been busy lately. They are releasing all kinds of shit. I'm going to go through a list real quick. Kat, I seen you had sent something on this. Yeah, I seen this too.
Make sure we don't forget to talk about that.
Yeah.
They're releasing, Rob, you like this, I think. The Roddy Piper movie? The Chew Bubblegum?
Yeah, that's They Live.
They Live, right. Okay, so... Yeah,
he's also in a movie called Hell Comes to Frogtown, which is amazing.
I've heard. Yeah, so they have a Roddy Piper Funko and two little zombie boy things from They Live. Right. Really cool looking.
That sounds cool.
Yeah. They have Ash 40th anniversary of The Evil Dead, which is crazy.
Yeah, I like that.
Wow. Yeah, so they have him. They have an Ash and then an Ash with blood on his face. Okay, they also have a Dungeons and Dragons Funko Pop.
Nice.
Cat, what the hell? How the hell did they do that?
I love Dungeons and Dragons.
I don't know. I'm excited about it. It is Strahd von Zurovec, which is the Dracula of the Dungeons and Dragons universe. So I'm very excited.
I wasn't going to try and pronounce that word, that name, just so you know. Ignored it for a reason.
They also have a mimic, which is a monster that can imitate inanimate objects.
Ooh.
I'm very excited about the Funko Pops all the way around. I've been doing good not getting any for my office, but since I have a Dungeons & Dragons themed office, this might be where I cave.
Mm.
And I was instructed specifically by IR Chris not to blame him when I make these purchases, because he brought them to my attention on Twitter. So, Chris, you get all the credit, not blame, for my purchases.
Chris's been spicy lately, huh? Chris's been spicy. He was nailing Rob today, threw something at Kat.
But you also get blamed for everything, Chris. Everything.
See, and now I'm going to get in trouble for not defending him enough after bad CGI sharks.
No, Chris is another one. He was threatening us after you two apparently blamed him. I don't know. But he was threatening me specifically. He said he was going to pick a bad movie. The Patreon, patreon.com/radio.
He already picked Psycho Gorman, for God's sake. What else could he throw at us?
I liked Psycho Gorman.
But he's going to get another vote next month, dude. See, he's got a spot of balls now.
Or we got to get somebody else to outvote him.
We do. But he threatened me with subtitles, too.
Oh.
He tweeted me and said something, tagged me in it, and said, like, subtitles?
I'm like, everybody's like, Mikey can't read.
I know. Who do they think's reading me by Twitter?
You're just going to find some version that doesn't even have the subtitles anyway.
Yeah. That'd be, talk about a power move there. Fuck me good there. Okay, Rob, here's your test. What's the name of that dice? What's that dice called?
The dice?
Mm-hmm.
In Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah.
Oh, everybody knows that. the dice. Battle dice.
Things take a while to load, huh?
D something.
Battle dice.
D4.
I'll take it.
D4 battle dice.
That it's a D20, but a D4 also technically can be used. So I'll accept it.
I know.
Not to attack things, but you know, whatever.
You could throw it at something.
That's what we call an improvised weapon, and it does require a D20 to roll. But yes.
Bing has failed you, Rob.
I am gonna use so many improvised weapons.
Well, you're not paying attention. I'll roll for initiative.
It's been a while since we did an episode. I gotta, you know.
Well, I'm sure you'll be able to do one next week since you're so, you miss it so much. There you go.
She can teach me, what do we say, high vulgarian?
So close and so wrong.
That was Mikey's
guess. That's not what it was. Yeah, I thought he got it right. Oh. I was impressed.
No, high valerian.
Oh, that's close.
Yeah.
Kinda.
No.
We don't know. That's close for us.
Come yeah, that's a good cat. We got to get at least partial credit for that.
It was a silver star, please.
You know, I'll for Mikey, yes, but Rob, you watched Game of Thrones. Come on.
Yes, I got the star. Ah,
damn it! That doesn't mean I paid attention to the what they called the language.
But it's also Valyrian steel, the doom of Valyria. Like,
I don't listen. I was watching Game of Thrones to see dragons, violence, and boobs. All right, I wasn't trying to watch no Valyrian whatever.
That was the best part of those shows. So I was kind of the same way. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Anyway, Trick or Treat Studios, they're releasing an awesome, brand new Captain Spaulding action figure.
No boy.
Ooh.
In tribute to Sid Haig. This thing is really fucking cool. And it's up for pre-order, $19.99. They're not even hitting you over the head for it.
Are you sure it's not $199.99?
No, $19.99. Right. I'm telling you, it's a really cool action figure. It has him in the Captain Spaulding get-up, the whole clown shebang. It comes with even this thing is how is it only $20? That's really impressive. It has other pieces too. You can get like a little gun, a chicken wing, a bucket of chicken. Kind of cool.
You gonna get one?
For $20, maybe.
Pre-order the summit. Did you order your shoes?
No, I didn't order shoes.
I didn't either.
Very disappointed in the shoes. I do want to see how much they're gonna be up for sale for later on, but anyway. So go check them out at Trick or Treat Studios. That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it. I'm not interested because I don't care for Captain Spaulding, but...
What?
I would imagine if you're a fan of those films, then yeah, that's probably worth picking up, especially at that price. You don't normally see those figures and stuff don't normally go for that cheap.
Mm-mm. It's not NECA or anything, but, you know, Trick or Treat Studios is still really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, in case you're interested, Rob.
I'm not.
Okay. That's what we're doing.
That's where we're at tonight. Okay. All right.
Oh, that is cool, though.
Right? Rob, look at it real quick.
What?
Please.
Do I have to Google it and everything?
No, I sent it in the group. Oh, yeah, just click it.
Hold on.
He cannot believe he has to look at this thing.
Right. I do like that of the three things, the three items that best describe a typical day for Captain Spaulding. It's a gun, a bucket of chicken, and a single piece of chicken. Chicken made it twice.
They really like, this is a campy action figure. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it does look pretty cool. I mean, I'm not going to get it. I don't care for Captain Spaulding or those movies, but...
You're crazy.
Like I said, if you're a fan of that stuff, then yeah, you should jump in on this.
My next pick is probably going to be Devil's Rejects. I just... Whenever I get the fucking turn. Just letting you
know. All right. Bring it. All right. I'd love to talk about that shit movie.
Oh.
Oh, no.
You wouldn't believe the bullshit storm that movie brought up, by the way, the last time we did it on this show.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Dismay's critique of, what's her name? Baby.
Baby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, dude. The war it caused. It was ridiculous. Yeah, people got mad about that. By the way, also they are also doing a Gremlins Funko. I forgot to mention that.
That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah. Cat.
Yeah.
We're friends, right?
I think so. I'm scared.
Depends on what you're gonna say next.
It feels like a trap when you ask, but okay.
I feel like the three of us have a great relationship. And I would like to keep it exactly how it is right now, Kat.
Okay.
Can we keep that going forward?
We'll see.
Okay. Spiral.
Oh, no.
Pushes the Saw franchise past $1 billion box office total.
I saw that.
Does it piss you off that was the one?
A little bit. I'm not, like, I'm glad it happened. It's annoying that Spiral's the one that did it. It was always going to be the one that did, you know? Unless it did really horribly, which may have been... That's the thing, it's a no-win situation for me, because if Spiral succeeds, it means that they're going to think they did something right. They're going to keep diluting the franchise with more things like Spiral, which is unfortunate. But if they give up... Like, if this had made no money, if I had been the only person in the theater to see the mistakes, and I had written a horrible review of it, and it had just been a nightmare, then there would never be, like, another chance, right? Like, this was the chance at the revival, and if it fails, you know, I can't win here. It's just all bad for me.
See, the thing that would piss me off is, how many movies were there before Spiral?
There were eight.
Too many.
Eight movies. Yeah. Okay, so Spiral only made $17.5 million in the box office. So over eight films, that's like $2
million. Yeah.
Like 2.2. So it's like if each film could have done so much smaller of a margin better.
Just a little bit.
A little bit better.
So... I know exactly why they failed. It's because they did not advertise saw the final chapter at all. Like, I was actively waiting for that movie to come out, and I barely knew when to be at the theater. It was practically an underground film. Like, man, they messed up on the promotion for Final Chapter, because Jigsaw outperformed it, if I remember correctly, and Jigsaw wasn't extraordinary.
I don't know.
It's annoying. Like, I'm not mad about it, but it does kind of hurt.
Okay. We're still friends, though.
We're still friends.
Okay.
Could be worse. Your favorite franchise could be locked in a lawsuit and never have any hopes of a sequel ever coming out again.
Yeah. I'll I'll watch Spiral, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll be lucky.
Rob just said, pulled out the world's smallest violin for you, Kat. We passed a billion. Poor us.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, another thing I just wanted to mention real quick. Hocus Pocus is coming to Disney Plus for Halloween next year. Original cast returning as Sanderson sisters. That is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
Next year?
Next year. Not this year, next year.
Right. I don't care. I have no attachment to Hocus Pocus at all.
Damn.
Yeah, it's just I don't have that nostalgia for it that people have.
I'm not one of those huge, oh my God, Hocus Pocus, you know, one of them. But the fact that they're bringing back the original cast is really, like, I love this shit, man. Like, Rugrats is coming back. God damn it, the 90s had the best fucking shit, Rob. I don't care what you say.
I'm not arguing. I like the 90s.
All right. I thought you were going to pull the 80s out on me, but all right.
No. Like, when I think of that, like, I always think of music, and the 90s music was the shit.
Yeah.
I love it. I can't stand most 80s music.
We had the coolest shit. Everything's coming back. Kat, you don't really care about this one, do you?
I don't. I don't think I'm going to have Disney Plus a year from now. So.
I will because of Hulu. Unfortunately. Oh.
No, you got the bundle.
Oh, yeah. Stephen A's World, Rob? I love that.
Yeah,
really good. Yeah, so that's cool. The last thing I wanted to mention, and this is kind of awesome. Amazon bought MGM.
I saw this.
Yeah, for $8.45 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
This is not, Mikey, this is gonna be the one that we quit being friends over. That's not awesome. You can't say that.
What do you mean?
We're one step closer to complete censorship from our corporate overlords. What are you doing? Well,
I mean, yeah, that does. I'm in shock that they were able to do that. But the good thing about that is that they are looking to, they called the movies that MGM had under its umbrella that they now own property of, the intellectual property, treasure trove of IP in the deep catalog. They're looking to bring back a bunch of films. I mean, Kat, you gotta admit, that's kind of cool.
It's cool if you trust Amazon to bring back those films.
I'm gonna tweet Jeff Bezos and see if he's a Killer Clowns from Outer Space fan.
Well, that let me get. I'm going to let you guys know some of the names, the notable names that they now just gained property of. Some of them not horror. Some of them weird, too. I'm shocked. James Bond. Wow. RoboCop, Rocky, The Hobbit, Adam's Family, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which we just went very deep into over the last few weeks. Candyman, Silence of the Lambs, Amityville Horror, which I love, Pumpkinhead, and Orion Films, which owns Child's Play. They cannot, man. Look at what they got.
Yeah.
But what are they gonna do with it? Also, if you're tweeting Jeff Bezos anyway, ask him to explain Man in the High Castle to me, please.
I already sent it. I think I understand. I saw three episodes of Man in the High Castle, and I was pretty sure I already knew what the twist was, so I was done.
We're four seasons later, and every episode is a goddamn twist. Like, come on.
Yeah, I stopped watching it. Maybe I was wrong. I don't even remember what I thought it was now because it was so long ago. So, yeah, I mean, the idea that they got these properties is good, but it's going to be what they do with them, you know?
Yeah. I don't think they bought MGM for no reason. I think they're going to make a push for a high-powered streaming service. And this is the step one.
They already have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, but they can add these onto Amazon Prime exclusive, like HBO does and shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's what you do with the library.
Right.
But are you gonna take these properties and revive them, and are you gonna do it well?
Oh, doing well is different. Yeah.
Right. That's the thing. Like Killer Clowns from Outer Space, we all want a sequel. We've talked about that. There's a petition about that. But you know, there's also the possibility that they could be like, well, you know, we're gonna make our own Killer Clowns from Outer Space and cut the Kyoto Brothers out of it. Or whatever, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm happy about it only because I have a Prime subscription anyway. So if right. I'm able to watch movies that I can't find other places now, then that's awesome. But if they're going to revive these properties, I'm just as leery as I would be if anybody else was doing it.
Yeah, yeah. And like Kat said, they're not doing this for no reason. These sumbitches are trying to take over the world.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so they're going to be doing something. I guarantee Amazon Films or whatever it is the hell that they're doing or really trying to push. Dude, everything has a streaming service now. And Prime Video is on a lower tier of that. Even though they have everything, it's just not very popular. I guarantee they're looking to change that. And I feel like they're looking to cut into some of Netflix's pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And really try and pull the Bajol out on this one, because these are big titles. This was not an accident. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. We'll see what they do with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I feel like Jeff Bezos owes us money because of our Stephen Kyoto interview and all that. He said, oh, let me get the fucking... I'm telling you.
We put the idea in his head, huh?
Yeah, we put it out there. He's seen the fucking thing.
He's a big Killer Clowns fan. He was like, that's why they can't get the sequel. Boom. $8 billion to buy the studio. Now I'm going to make the sequel.
Just to say fuck Slasher Radio. All right, Jeff Bezos. All right. All
right. I believe it.
Checkmate, sir. Checkmate. We'll see you in court.
Yeah.
And we'll air the whole fucking case on the Lord Humphrey audio thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be like Serial, but better.
Yeah.
Because I'll be doing it.
Right.
That was the least committal right I've ever heard in my entire life.
He's got no faith in me.
No, none.
I've launched my own network.
You know what? You know. Rob, I would definitely subscribe to our Patreon to get you to hear you fight Jeff Bezos.
Yeah.
I'm all in. I believe in you.
Rob, you are picking a lot of CEOs to get your ass kicked by lately. Yeah. Jason Blum, Bezos.
Tag team man.
Yeah, you're going to be like the next Jake Paul. Launch your own boxing league and shit.
Except he actually knows how to box, I think.
Put Jake Paul on the list, too.
Yeah, you want to fight
Speaking
Jake Paul?
Speaking of people I want to fight.
Rob, come on.
No, I watched him knock that one dude out on that Tyson fight. I was like, holy shit.
Nate Robinson, Snoop Dogg said, oh, Lord.
Snoop Dogg was the best thing about that whole event.
He really was.
Yeah, when they were fighting Tyson and what was the guy's name? Who did he fight? I'm drunk. I can't remember.
I don't remember.
Roy Jones.
Roy Jones, yeah.
When they were fighting, he was like, oh, they look like my uncles at a barbecue.
Yeah. Grandma's going to have to come out and break this one up. Yeah.
Funny.
Someone needs to hire him for commentary, like the NBA, NFL. Somebody needs to.
Yeah, yeah.
They're missing out on money.
Throw his ass on some WWE shit.
He's been, yeah.
Yeah, let him go.
All right, guys, so that's it all. That's all I got for the news. We're going to cut you over to a quick break, and then we're going to be right back with Halloween H2O. Excited, Rob?
Oh, son of a bitch.
All right.
Let me get my notes.
You ready?
Uh-huh.
You sure?
Yeah, I got it.
I'm not letting this one go.
What? You're not? What about what?
Halloween H2O, man.
All right.
Dead serious.
All right.
You guys got a fight on your hand. Here we go.
I'm not going to fight. I'm gonna play Peacemaker. I've been saying forever we need to just have a spa day as a team. And since we're not doing that, I refuse to take a strong stance on this movie. I have points on both sides.
Okay.
I'm gonna let you guys fight it out.
Okay.
All right.
So Kat, why don't you start? Let's hear you then, because we obviously both have strong opinions. You're in the middle.
I will say so this is something you guys know. I've been rewatching a lot of stuff, a lot of classic horror movies lately that I haven't seen since I was a kid, since I like first got into the genre. The rewatches have really been affecting how I feel about franchises and about individual movies in particular. The last rewatch that I had that I didn't remember very well was Dream Child, which I think might be one of my all-time least favorite big franchise movies. It is
without a doubt the worst of the Nightmare on Elm Street
movies. It's without a doubt the worst of the Nightmare on Elm Street, and yeah. It ranks really super low for me. So, but the thing about it was that why I'm bringing it up right now is because I didn't remember it well. And that's the thing, is usually movies I don't remember, that I watched when I was a kid, I don't remember for a reason. Like, I blocked it out, or there was something terrible in there that I just didn't carry with me. So the fact that I couldn't remember H2O like at all had me really nervous to sit down and watch it, because I thought it was going to be, and then Rob was also in our chat.
He was talking shit.
I was very fair and open-minded about it the whole time.
So I was really nervous to sit down and watch this. I thought it was going to be like Dream Child level of bad, and it's not. With the bar there, it sailed past it for a long time, and I was thinking, like, this is going to be maybe, like, it's one of the better Halloween sequels. There were a couple things at the end that I'm just not crazy about, but I will say in premise, and at least partially in execution, like, they did things that I liked. There was good stuff in here, there was some bad stuff, and I do really hate that song. Oh, God.
What song?
Mr. Sandman. It's in my head for life, because I heard it once.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Sandman's a nice callback to Halloween 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's there.
But it's in my head now.
Yeah, Kat, you got nerve. She said with the bar there, the bar's on the floor where Freddy's dead.
I know.
Damn.
Yeah. The other thing that Kat does is she'll say things that make me feel super old. She's like, I saw it as a child. And I'm like, man, I watched this in college.
Well, I remember it as a kid too. I don't know what your problem with this movie is. Halloween H2O, 20 years later, I feel like they couldn't keep doing the same movie at this point. This was 1998. The original came out in 78. They had to update it, whether we like it or not, you know? And they did that. And they were in the time they were in. And they had to, you know, have certain things on that checklist. And I feel like they put together a very nice Halloween movie.
I will say they put together a very nice Scream movie.
Here we go.
That's what this movie feels like. I will say this. This movie, Halloween H2O, feels more like a Scream movie than Scream 4 does.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
I was just about to tell you not to insult the Scream franchise like that, but then the Scream 4 comment brought me back.
That's what this movie is. It's Scream with Michael Myers and Jamie Lee Curtis.
It's not clever, and this isn't anything about the movie. Like, this isn't supposed to be an insult, but it's not nearly as clever as any of the Scream, most of the Scream movies.
It's not, but it has the nods to all the other movies.
And it's not funny.
That are in there throughout. It's not funny, but it does the same thing that Scream does in a lot of ways. It pays, it sort of nods to all the other movies by playing Mr. Sandman, for instance, in the movie. They picked that song for a reason. It's not like that was a hit at the time. they have Janet Leigh playing Jamie Lee Curtis's secretary. Because it's her mother, and she even says it at one point in time in the movie, can I something along the lines of, can I offer you some motherly advice, mm-hmm. or something. The car that she's by, Janet Leigh in the movie is the same car that was in the movie Psycho, and it even has the same license plate as the second car that she buys in that film.
How do you not enjoy all that?
I do, but I'm saying it's not, it doesn't feel like a Halloween movie. It feels like a Scream movie. It looks like a Scream movie. It has like some shitty Creed song or whatever playing over the end credits.
Yeah, they did have
it's that. It's a 90s slasher Scream movie. It's not a Halloween movie.
Maybe that's what my problem was. Because there was like a lot of my notes, I didn't quite know why things bothered me. But they did just kind of feel out of place in the franchise.
You know, I noted the music in the credits too. I really did. I noted that. And I believe that is the first time credits have ever been brought up in the history of this show.
Yeah.
But it did stick out to me as very strange because you're used to hearing that Myers music on the way in and on the way out.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Instead, you get whatever shitty 90s, but I don't think it was Creed. I don't know.
I said the same thing. Is that Creed?
Yeah. It's some terrible
Someone
90s.
Trying to be Creed.
You know. Rock band playing some terrible song.
But that was the time though, man.
It might have been, but it wasn't. It's not Halloween.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
2018.
Oh,
they went out of their way to make that movie feel like Halloween. And that's what's missing from this movie.
Okay, so all of the things that I have complaints about, like all of the Michael comments that I have that made me kind of upset toward the end, if I picture them as Ghostface instead of Michael Myers, I'm less mad.
See? It's Scream.
Don't you see me? No.
And that's because, look, it's not only because of the time, but the script was punched up by Kevin Williamson, who wrote Scream.
I know.
There was like more physical I don't want to call it comedy, but there was an awful lot of floundering around as Michael Myers.
And there is some comedy in this one too. I mean, LL Cool J's character with his, you know, romance novel and stuff.
That's one place where I didn't mind it. That was fun.
Hell yeah.
No, I don't mind it. I love that character. LL Cool J steals this movie.
Yeah, he might be my favorite like Halloween sequel character. I like him a lot.
Yeah, he's tremendous. I'm not hating on the ladies love Cool James, but
mm-mm.
But I'm just saying that there was some humor in this movie. It was there. And you know, and it's also got that, you know, that 90s, like that Josh Hartnett thing about it, who, by the way, Josh Hartnett has the same haircut in this movie that Courtney Cox has in Scream 3.
Wow, way to really throw this one the fire. Damn,
he wore it better though, unfortunately.
It does look less out of place on him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Rob, with all that being said,
mm-hmm.
because you brought up all this 90s shit, it was a 90s movie, and I understand they it was a bit of a sellout, but if they had to do it that way, and I understand they didn't, but now that they did, you can at least look at it and go, you know what? They could have done a lot worse.
No, they could have done a lot worse. And there are worse movies in this franchise. I'm sort of taking the stance of Devil's Advocate a little bit with this movie. I don't hate this movie.
You're being spiteful.
Yeah, a little bit, a little bit. I don't hate this movie. I think this movie is overrated. Like I always, whenever I watch a movie, I'll post all over all my social media, like now watching. And it's not because I think people care what I'm doing at that moment. It's because I want to get people's reaction to the movie that I'm watching.
Okay.
And without a doubt, whenever I post this one, especially on Facebook, for some reason, I get a bunch of people who tell me that's the best one in the franchise. Those people have not watched this movie recently because it is nowhere near the best one in the franchise. It's such an overrated movie. This is a middle of the road, middle of the pack movie in the Halloween franchise. That's it. And there is a long stretch in the middle of this movie where fucking nothing happens. I mean, nothing. Like, we don't even see Michael for like 40 minutes.
All right. I want to get you guys' thoughts on that. The intro, because I kept this in mind, as you've always said, Rob, this felt like a Scream movie, not a Halloween movie. The intro of this movie felt like a Halloween movie.
The very first thing that I have in my notes, this opening is the best part of the movie.
Okay.
I love that part.
Kat, do you agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Now,
yeah.
Let me say this. You know what other movie I always say that about?
What?
Scream.
You fucking
the opening
you.
With Drew Barrymore is the best part of that movie.
I can't stand you. I can't stand Jinx for defending you.
The one thing that I will say about the opening, and I don't think I would have changed anything, the skate to the face was weird.
You don't like that?
I'm not crazy about that.
I don't mind it.
I wasn't a fan.
I mean, it's kind of nice to see Joseph Gordon-Levitt with a skate in his face.
Well, first of all, it's not like I understand it was because of the costume and everything, but it's not like he was like skating around his house.
Well, no, it's an ice skate, but he probably owns the ice skates.
It doesn't seem like it would be the most convenient thing around.
All right.
And I don't know. It felt a little bit. Everything else in the opening scene was so good. It felt so naturally paced. And then the ice skate was like, really? All right. That felt staged in comparison, I felt.
The opening sequence sets a really high bar for this movie that the rest of it doesn't live up to.
I did also write down, like, one of my first notes was like, how does Rob not like this movie? Because the intro is so good.
It's awesome. It's awesome. But then the rest of the movie is kind of blah. Like I said, we go from that to... Another great scene in the film is the scene with the mother and the daughter in the restroom when Michael steals their car.
Yeah.
I love that scene. I think that's awesome. But then we don't see Michael again for like 45 minutes.
That bathroom, by the way, looked identical to, I can't remember if it was the 2018 or the Rob Zombie one.
No, it was the 2018 one, I think.
It wasn't. It looked damn near identical, didn't it?
Yeah,
it looks a lot the same. Yeah, there is a scene in one of the Rob Zombie ones in the bathroom, but
yeah, I don't know which one I'm thinking. Yeah,
I can't remember which one it is, but yeah, the scene in 2018 has a bathroom that looks a lot like that.
And I want to point out that real quick, because that ties into it. The 2018 movie Rob pulled a good amount from this, I think, in a couple of ways.
It pulled some, but it pulled from all the movies.
It did. But there was specifics in the, and not just that. I truly appreciate Laurie Strode's character in the 2018 Halloween so much more after rewatching this.
Because she's not as good in this one?
Jesus Christ. No. She was phenomenal.
She's good. The acting is good. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the actual, the way they wrote the character not being nearly as good as the way they did in 2018.
I think it was... the setup for the way they wrote it in 2018, this is like really where you see that obsession and paranoia, what we see in 2018 where they think she's crazy, she's losing her mind, obsessive. That's after years of being told it's over, forget about it, it's done, and going through that over and over got her to 2018. I think it's comes right from it.
Maybe.
That was something I kind of got also.
Yeah.
Because it was watching the 2018 one, it was really kind of sad, you know, where it's like, because they erased so much history, they took so much stuff out of the canon, and it's like she doesn't really, you know, we don't have that history of seeing her be a mother. We skip generations down where we just see everyone reacting paranoid to her. But it was kind of interesting after having seen that one to go back and watch this, where you get to see her as a mom again, and it's like you can kind of see where that progression would have come in, where she was overbearing, her children don't get along with her, but you know, and you can see the tension between there, the struggle, but she's right, which I think, you know, there's a lot of terror that came from there. And I can see how in that way her character from the 2018 one was more influenced by this one, even though it was kind of replacing that storyline. And I think actually on that note, I think H2O would have done a lot better if they had that same chance to kind of get that clean start and erase stuff from the canon that wasn't working. That was something that the 2018 one...
H2O did erase stuff from the canon, some of it. H2O is supposed to be a direct sequel to Halloween 2.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's it was supposed to wipe out anything after Halloween 2.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
I wouldn't be mad at that at all.
So it's supposed to be that's one of the timelines. No. The Halloween franchise, I just said this on a show we recorded for Patreon, Mikey. But the Halloween franchise has an interesting, it has like four different timelines and three different movies named Halloween. It's very weird. But yeah, so the you know, you have the original timeline, which is Halloween 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you know, whatever. And then you have Halloween 3, which is its own thing and sort of its own timeline, I guess, its own world, whatever, set aside. And then you have this one, which is Halloween 1, 2, and then H2O. And then you have the new one.
What about Rob Zombie?
Well, yeah, yeah. And then you have the zombie universe 2, which is Halloween 1 and 2. And then you have the new one, which is Halloween 1, and then Halloween 2018.
I don't like that.
But yeah, this was supposed to be a direct sequel to, this was considered a sequel to Halloween 2. It threw everything else out.
I see.
But it's also, should be noted, this is the only movie in the franchise that doesn't take place in Illinois.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. It
takes place in California. Yeah. Where Scream is set.
Oh, Jesus Christ with the Scream.
I was going to try to warn you, Mikey, but I wasn't.
Thanks a lot, Kat. I appreciate it. Damn it.
And by the way, before we get too far away from the mother and the daughter and him stealing their vehicle, how is it that he's in this small town in Northern California driving around and nobody notices this weird ass Jeepers Creepers looking fucking truck? Nobody sees this thing and goes, what the fuck is that? And why is he wearing a mask? And what the hell's going on?
Well, speaking of him and his mask, I'm going to be honest. My biggest problems with this movie
was the mask.
Partly was a couple of things with Michael Myers himself, the mask included. Yeah.
This was the worst mask.
They used six different masks.
Six?
Yeah. They used six different masks, including one where the hair isn't the same color. And you'll like this, Mikey. You'll really appreciate this. One of the masks is CGI.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I know how much you love that.
I know for a fact that you're doing like a movie trivia thing right now that you read somewhere, but I choose to believe that you sat down throughout this last week multiple times to watch H2O and count how many different masks you saw.
No,
I wouldn't be shocked.
I did not. I read a book called Taking Shape, which I highly recommend.
Ooh.
That is about the production of all the Halloween movies. And it is absolutely fascinating. I'm also now reading, and I don't read. So, you know, if I read a book, it must be good.
Yeah.
And right now I'm about halfway through Taking Shape 2, which is also fascinating. And it's about all the, not all, but most of the Halloween sequels that didn't get made, that were pitched, that were, you know, like scripts were actually written, but they never got made.
I really hope there's one more of those books and they just call it Taking Shape, but they have Rob Zombie's picture on the cover of it. That would make me so happy.
I will be so mad.
I like Kat's idea better. You just rewatching the movie over and over.
Yeah,
I can picture Rob at like a ruler and a magnifying glass to the screen. That's CGI.
No, but yeah, that is the thing. One of the masks is indeed CGI, and apparently, okay. I should say this. I don't remember if it said they designed six masks or they used six masks. They may have just designed six masks, but they definitely used more than one because the hair changes colors throughout the movie.
I'd believe the six mask thing.
Yeah. Yeah. It was all over the place. Like they were in production and still arguing about which masks to use.
Well, they should have gone for a seventh. Like I was underwhelmed by the masks.
You know what's weird, though? In all the still images I see for this movie, the masks look phenomenal. I was in some of those pictures, the favorite masks out of any of the Halloween movies. Pictures. That was not in the movie. The movie.
They probably used an old mask for the pictures.
Probably. Yeah. Probably. But the mask was horrible. Even to the points at times where I couldn't believe that they even used it in certain spots. But, dude, Michael Myers' size, too. Did he look small to you guys?
He looked small. And like I said, like he just, there was a lot of floundering around, you know?
Yeah.
His movements didn't seem as intimidating.
Yeah.
He didn't have that same calculating.
He does manage to somehow hide on a pipe that's just above everyone's head and then lower himself down with one arm silently.
Yeah, I mean, that's an advantage to being smaller, I guess.
Yeah.
The actor is Chris Drouand, and he is 6'2". I am 6'2". I should not be the same size as Michael Myers. I don't know why they would. I just don't understand. Like, Michael Myers, Nick Castle, you know, the whole list. They've been big, brooding men. And not oversized, Rob Zombie, but, you know, big size, thick men.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, LL Cool J would have fucked him up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mama would have said knock him out, and it would have happened. Like, dude, it's hard for me to believe that. And that's another reason I say this movie's good. My biggest problem was the reason I'm watching it, and I still like the damn thing. I like that.
Like I said, my biggest complaint is that it doesn't feel like a Halloween movie. It's got that 90s sheen on it. You know, they continued that with Resurrection too, which is the worst one of the franchise.
No, it's not.
Beyond a Shadow of a Doubt, Resurrection is the worst Halloween movie.
No way.
Yeah. I'm thinking of an idea for an episode, and I think we'll talk about it off air, but it could get really interesting.
I'll do Resurrection anytime you want.
No. This is something different. This is, this could be if the bracket didn't end this show, what I'm thinking of might. Keep that in mind. We'll talk about it afterwards.
Son
all right.
Son of a bitch.
So this movie, I guess there was a lot of hope. Like, I remember when this movie came out, right?
Okay.
Jamie Lee Curtis was coming back to the franchise. It was a big deal. At one point, John Carpenter was going to come back and direct.
Why didn't he?
He was mad because he said that he was still owed money from the original Halloween Jesus that he never Christ. Got paid. So when they approached him, he told them, yes, he would come back and direct it because Jamie Lee Curtis was coming back and he would love to work with her again. But he wanted $10 million to direct it and a 3-picture deal. And Miramax, or Dimension, whichever company it was, the Weinsteins, said no. And so he walked away. And they ended up getting Steve Miner to direct it.
Yeah. In hindsight, seeing the success of 18, not crediting a tremendous amount to Carpenter, but, you know, his name was put on it again. He was a poster child again. In hindsight, that wouldn't have been that bad of a deal, you would think. But, I mean, it only had a $17 million budget, which I think was the biggest problem.
Yeah, yeah. Although Steve Miner also, should be noted, I think he's overlooked as a director a lot. He's got a really solid resume. You know, he did Friday 2 and 3, which are both very good. He did House, which is also very good. Of course, H2O, and he made Lake Placid.
Sure did.
Yeah. So Steve Miner gets overlooked a little bit when it comes to the discussion of great horror directors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Rob?
Yeah.
I'll fight you tooth and nail on this one.
All right. It's again, it's middle of the road. It's not an awful movie, but it is not it's not a good movie, and it's not a good Halloween movie at all.
So I have a couple of good things that I'd like to say about this movie, but I have one final like complaint that I just have to get in here. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
There was a sound effect when they punched Michael in the face. Can we talk about that? Can we talk about the over-the-top punching sound effect?
You know, I think I noticed that.
I didn't, but...
I remember thinking something along those lines, yeah.
It was like one of those old Saturday morning cartoon sounds, and I didn't like it. It really got under my skin.
I didn't notice it. And I'm not going to go back and rewatch the movie to hear it. So.
I could see that bothering. I think I remember thinking, though, really? I could see something like that being a big deal. We expect more from a Halloween movie.
From a Halloween movie, yeah. Right. You know, if it were like a cheap knockoff, you know, I wouldn't pick on them for sound effects, but
no.
They do have a little bit of history with stupid sound effects. Remember the sound effect that plays under the cops in part five?
Oh, God.
It is the dumbest thing
yeah.
ever. Maybe they were paying homage to that.
That's it. It was an homage.
Yeah, because that's what Scream does. It homages them.
All right, with the Scream.
But some good things. I did really like, we talked about this a little bit. I really liked Laurie's character development in this one. I thought it was nope. one of what?
Oh,
nope. I did.
Nope.
I liked her story.
But she doesn't, there's no arc there. She doesn't really change.
She doesn't, I think she kind of does though.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
She
goes from hiding and being like overbearing and overprotective and afraid and hiding behind those gates of the university to going out and actively getting herself in trouble so that she can make sure that Michael's dead. And I think that was a really powerful moment.
All right, maybe. All right, fine. But she's not, I mean, those gates aren't very strong. LL Cool J's running the controls there and he's not paying any attention.
Yeah, those he's are the flimsiest gates she could have possibly hid behind. But
yeah, all right,
quit hiding all right, behind fine. Them and I appreciate yeah, it.
I'll give you that. Fine. She does have an arc. You're right.
Yeah.
I'm so glad Kat brought that up.
Yeah, because if you'd have said it, I never would have come around.
Son of a bitch. I noted that too, though. Yeah.
And I also, mm-hmm. I liked the end. I went kind of back and forth on it, because as she's driving away, it got to that almost comedic level again, where I wasn't laughing out loud, but it's like, this is too silly for me to take seriously, because he's wiggling in the body bag, and then she looks back, and he somehow, even though he's in a body bag, knows that she's looking at him and quits moving, so that she has to focus on the road again, and they go through that a couple times, and I was starting to get a little bit agitated with it, where it's like, it would have been much more powerful if you had not really known if he was alive or dead. It could have been yeah. a cliffhanger and a psychological thing where it's like, is she just running from the police because of her paranoia? Like, and I was getting kind of fed up with it, but that was a really, I liked the shot at the end. I liked that she's, and again, I was getting agitated because it's so silly, you know, like he's looking at her through the mask and reaching his hand out. And I was fed up. I was done. That was actually when I sent the text that I was giving up on this one. And yeah. I was really, really mad about it. But then to see her come around and remember what she's doing there and the decapitation, it was a cool shot.
Yeah. And then wait until you see the beginning of Resurrection and you yeah. see how they undo all that. And you're like, motherfucker, this is so stupid.
Genius. Yeah. Tying the story together.
This is sense. The dumbest thing ever.
Oh, I can't wait to do Resurrection.
Oh, God, that movie sucks. Oh, God, it's so bad.
But no, I noted that too. At that moment when she shut those gates, I used the word powerful, man. Like, she could have got the fuck out of there, which is what we usually see Lori in hell. Most final girls and or even just, you know, victims in general in these horror movies, they're looking to get the fuck out of there. She had every opportunity, man. And she said, no, this is ending this fucking time. This year, it's ending.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was crazy. I like that. I like it.
It's a good moment.
And I do think, Lori, other than the opening was great, we talked about that, I did think that the bathroom scene was really great, and that was brought up as well. But I do think other than, like, just the creepiness of those two scenes, Lori was my favorite part of H2O, and she was my favorite part of Halloween, too. So, Halloween also, not Halloween 2. let me rephrase that.
She's good in Halloween 2.
Yeah, I don't think she was my favorite part of Halloween 2, though. I really liked, she was the focus in this one, and that was something that I hadn't felt since the original, or, you know, since 2018, and it was nice.
Clearly the best part of Halloween 2 is that nurse guy who's like a pervert, makes up a perverted version of Amazing Grace.
Of course.
Yeah, I can't remember his name for some reason at the moment. Probably has to do with all the rum I've ingested. But yeah, he's the best part of Halloween too. All right. So you guys like it and I don't. Great. Thanks. Again, once again, you guys gang up on me, and I'm the victim.
How dare you?
I just always end up liking these movies the most.
Yeah. I want to bring up one more thing. And Rob, this is my final statement on this movie to you. I feel it felt like a Scream movie. I give it that. Not to the degree you're saying it, in my opinion, but the only difference, the biggest difference between this movie and the earlier Halloweens is just the time, man. Because the originals were, the earlier films, they were based around teenagers and what they would do. And we look at it now and it looks so outdated and so corny, but that's what teenagers were like back then.
How dare you call Halloween outdated?
I know, right? But that's what they were like back then. And in 1998, that's what teenagers were like then. It sucks. I know. They're so much more annoying. I agree. But that's the way it was, man.
All right. Are any of the kills in this movie interesting?
Skate to any the face.
Are you going to hate on the light bulb?
That's dumb.
Oh.
I will say the tension, like the buildup to them was really cool. Even when it didn't make a lot of sense, the garbage disposal situation, physics were forgotten when they were shooting that scene. I'm pretty sure made no sense. But I was like, well, at least we're going to get to see, like, they're going to do something cool with it. And I understand that it was just for, you know, it's misdirection, it's tension building, but if you're going to have a shot like that, that makes no sense. You've got to do something cool with the garbage disposal. Like to just find the body after that was a little bit of a letdown. And that was the thing, was like, they would build up really cool deaths and then just kind of not do that. You would just see the body later, which can be effective, but it got to be kind of repetitive in this one, except for, and I've forgotten her name already.
Because none of the characters are memorable.
But the brunette friend, I did the leg getting stuck in the dumbbell. That was really, I liked that.
That is probably the best one, but I would argue it's not all that interesting.
And the focus wasn't on the kill. Again, it was like the buildup was very good because.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, were there boobs in this movie?
No, there weren't.
No, I think it's the first Halloween to not have boobs.
I do feel like and then I agree with Kat. That was a bit of a letdown. But I do think maybe they were restricted by budget too. I know a good amount of that is writing, but also, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis, I'm sure, was making really nice bank for this. Steve Miner, I'm sure, isn't cheap. There was so much that went into this movie, $17 million, they might have been restricted there, but there would have been better ways to do it than what they did, for sure, even with that. So, but that light bulb one, Rob, come on.
Don't talk to me about light bulb.
It would have been cooler if we had seen it happen. Like, you just get to see the aftermath. And I guess that was kind of another underlying issue that I had with it, because Halloween as a franchise always does kind of do those cool body reveals, but these were not like the focus wasn't as sharp. It was a little bit hard sometimes to see what I was looking at, and the light bulb was a good, also the skate to the face, it did take, I had to pause to figure out what I was looking at.
Have you seen an optometrist lately, Kat?
Actually I have.
The effects weren't the greatest thing in the world in this thing.
See?
But don't see me. You said a lot of nice things about this damn movie.
I did, because I don't hate this movie. It's a fine movie. It's just not a good Halloween movie. Again, in the franchise, it's middle of the road. It feels and looks more like a Scream movie to me than it does a Halloween movie. I don't necessarily like everything about it, but there are some things that I like a lot about it. Like I said, that opening is not only the best thing in this movie, but it is one of the best things in this entire franchise.
You need You need to like better things. That's what you need to do.
I like all sorts of awesome things.
I just don't. I don't know. I'm glad I at least had Kat on my side. Just kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Over here getting picked on like always.
Yeah, poor you. I don't know, man. I really like this one. I did not know the whole after the second movie thing. I did not know that. That is very interesting. And I would not, like I said, I would not be mad at all had they done that. So
yeah, that's one of the timelines.
18 was right after, it was a direct sequel, right? To the first one?
Yes, 18 yeah. Throughout everything except for the first movie.
Yeah, that's so not fair to that second movie. I don't like that second movie.
It works well, though. And I think that one of the main things they wanted to get rid of was the sibling thing, which is brought up in the second movie because it works. Michael is scarier if it's random. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like killing a sibling.
Once there's a reason for him to go after Lori, then there's no reason for him or someone like him to come after you.
Yeah.
So it makes it less scary. So they wanted to, I think they really wanted to get rid of that. And John Carpenter has said for years and years that he regretted that decision when he wrote that.
I don't understand these stupid, forget that. It's weird how it's just impossible to really truly forget though, you know?
Right.
Know these things. Like, it's just so weird that they expect us to do it. I mean, I guess it's nice to frame it and, you know, I get all that, but it's like, damn, you got balls. You want us to forget it all, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And they address it in 2018 briefly.
They did.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
How could I forget about Trick or Treat Motherfucker by Busta Rhymes? How could I?
I hate you.
Oh, such amazing film.
I hate you and everything you stand for.
Does anyone else have anything to say about this?
No.
This is the most I've ever gotten robbed to budge on a movie, Kat.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Came at homework.
It's because I'm always open-minded, and if nothing, I'm reasonable and flexible.
Don't ever tell me you're flexible again. All right, guys. So go over to Slash.
Wait. Are we going to do Portnoy's or not?
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to do
Portnoy's. Oh, no.
Who wants to go first? I will.
Dead silence.
Okay, I'll go first. I would like to give Halloween H2O from 1998 a Portnoy score of an 8.2.
Oh, God. Oh, Mikey.
Yeah.
This might be a first.
Wow.
You've given it higher than I did. Yes. I no longer have the highest Portnoy.
There we go. 8.2.
That is a lot.
I mean it, too. I mean it.
Wow. Yep. All right.
Yep. I almost went an 8.3 on you.
Wow. Let's
keep it at an 8.2.
You want me to go? Or
yeah.
Whoever wants to go.
I would like you to go. My confidence is wavering now.
I will give Halloween H2O a 6.4.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What? That's not bad.
Oh, wow.
I feel like that's right where it should be.
You are spiteful. What'd you give it?
6.4.
Jesus. Shame on you.
Anyway, so you can check us out.
No.
I don't... We've had a nice bonding moment. I had comments that took your side. My score's closer to Rob's than yours. I don't want to get in trouble.
Damn it. What'd you do, Kat? What is it?
It's a 6.8. Mm-hmm. Which I feel pretty good with, but...
You couldn't give it a 7, huh?
I just...
0.2.
No. Mm. I don't feel like it's quite at that critical level of, you know, the bar for 7, but it was fun.
I feel dirty. I feel betrayed.
So this one is not Slasher Radio approved.
Oh, no, it sure isn't. Damn.
I thought it might be close. I thought Kat was going to go higher than that, but...
What's the total? What does it come to?
If I wrote it down right, 7.1.
Damn it.
Yeah, I really thought I was going to... So here's the thing. When I chose 7.8, I thought I was going to be in the middle, but I thought I was going to be closer to in the middle because I thought Mikey was going to go with like a 7-point something and Rob was going to go with a 5-point something.
I miscalculated on that
like
one.
Like a 5.9, yeah. But I felt good about my score.
It's much fairer than 6.4. See, I look at each point at it like it's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
It really is. Like that 6.4 means you said fuck you giving it a 6.5.
No, I mean a 6, I mean the middle of the scale is 5. So I gave it like on the positive side of the scale.
But you did 6.4 on purpose. This is my point.
And I did because that's what I think it's worth. 6.4, yeah.
Right. That's fucked up. Damn. Yeah. Cat's close enough to a 7 to where I don't feel as bad.
All right.
Damn.
We'll take it.
That's what it is.
Gave a Halloween movie a 6.4. I hope you're happy with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there are Halloween movies that wouldn't crack a 4, so it's fine.
That's Dream Child.
All right. Well, I hope you're happy, guys. The Halloween movie is not slash radio approved. I hope you are happy with yourselves.
I'm fine with it.
All right. I guess I'm the only one that's not gonna be able to sleep tonight. That's good. All right. You can follow us on Twitter at slasher radio. You can go to our Patreon and support the show. We have tiers starting as low as $3 a month. Guys, it's less than a dollar a week. You can support the show. You get a bunch of other perks. We have to offer the most perks out of any horror podcast I've seen. Patreon, I mean, as far as free merch every 3 months if you sign up. So go to patreon.com/slasherradio. You can go to slasherradio.com and find a little link to that on there. Where's my phone?
What are you doing?
In 5 days and 3 hours, you can find me on Twitter at Mikey's. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you've been putting time out.
I don't give a fuck. Anyway.
I am on Twitter right now at Radio Rob 123. You can also listen to my other show, This Horror Life, which you can find wherever you are listening to Slasher Radio.
Great show.
Me and Ghost discussing all things horror.
Yep. And you will soon be able to find my reviews for This Horror Life. Kat, where are you at?
You can find me on Twitter at Kat_Velour, V-O-L-E-U-R. You can also check out the horror channel I write for on YouTube, Blood Binge. We've got Nightmare on Elm Street now, so... Mm.
Are you guys going to finish Friday the 13th, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, we're going to finish Friday the 13th. We're going to finish Saw, also. I have...
I don't care about Saw.
They put me in a timeout from submitting long scripts because sent so many franchise scripts.
Oh.
They didn't set a number on how many I could write, so I just, like, flooded them with franchises. I'm like, listen, I'm on this. And they're like, Kat, short scripts, please.
Oh, I see. All right.
But they're coming.
Yeah, a lot of good content there. Even if Kat does slander the name of Crazy Ralph.
His name is Crazy Ralph. I did everything that I could for him.
Oh, man. All right, guys. Thank you for checking us out. Go support the show. Good night from Slasher Radio.
All the best with Slasher Radio podcast. Thank you.